What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Happy Friday, Fri-yay. We've got your news for this Friday, May 30th. And if you're already celebrating summer break, hope you're having some fun. If you're not there yet, you will be soon. This is the first of 10 special summer shows we're going to be putting out every Friday for the next 10 weeks. So let's lock in and learn. We begin today with a new policy for international students who want to further their education in the United States. According to official messages seen by CNN journalists, the State Department is pausing all new appointments to apply for a student visa. A student visa is a legal document that allows people to enter a foreign country temporarily so they can pursue education, language immersion, or vocational training. Receiving the visa typically requires verification of the program of study and a background check. But the State Department now says it wants international students to go through an extensive social media screening as well. Embassies have asked applicants to submit profile links in the past, alleging they were checking for hate speech against certain religious groups, but it's unclear what this latest expanded search would be looking for.
If we are deterring foreign students from coming to study here, then we are depriving ourselves of the benefits that those foreign nationals would bring to the United States after they graduate.
There were more than 1.1 million foreign students in the U.S. during the 2023-2024 school year. Former embassy officials tell CNN that appointments for student visas are typically prioritized this time of year in preparation for the upcoming fall semester. Those same officials fear this new policy will slow down the application process. All spring, we've been covering how the White House is trying to reduce how much money it spends internally on federal programs. And today we're seeing a real-life impact that some of those spending cuts are having, this time with the Arts, History, and Cultural Centers. Our Sunlin Serfati visited the Museum of African American History in Boston, which depends on a $500,000 check from the federal government each year to keep its doors open. Here's what's happening now that the funding has been cut.
Good morning.
For more than six decades, Boston's Museum of African American History has been a connection to the past, inspiring students like seventh grader Excel Alibi.
I realize that so many people have fought for us, fought for our freedom.
The museum is a 200-year-old African meeting house where former slaves and abolitionists like Frederick Douglass once spoke.
I feel it. Seeing it in person better than seeing it on screen or on a paper.
You get to touch history and engage with history.
But school programs like this one may themselves soon be history after the Trump administration sent the museum CEO a letter saying its grant, quote, no longer serves the interests of the United States.
I will forever remember that line. How is the fight against slavery, a conflict that literally affected everything from the writing of the Declaration to the Constitution, through the Civil War that literally divided the country, and us not offering a perspective on that story, not in the interest of the United States.
In April, the museum's $500,000 grant from the federal government was abruptly canceled, money which was supposed to be used for school field trips and educational programs. This museum is not alone. The administration has proposed eliminating the agencies that dole out the grants, the National Endowments of the Arts and Humanities. And in the last 2 months, the White House has pulled tens of millions of dollars in funding from cultural groups across the country. Affecting a music program for young children in Nebraska, a young readers program in South Dakota, and the National History Day competition, valuable programs for kids now wrestling with cutbacks or even closure. Many conservatives have long advocated such cuts, arguing arts and humanities programs are a waste of taxpayer money.
Why should taxpayers still be on the hook for this?
It's a joint investment in our community.
It would be a tremendous loss for our students because a lot of our students wouldn't experience this in any other way.
Including Excel Alibi, who says she learned something about the Civil War she never learned in school.
Teenagers were going to war just to fight for rights because their families were slaves. That really stuck to me.
So you made a direct connection.
Yes.
Teenagers of your age.
Yes. That was really amazing. High schoolers going to war just to fight for rights.
SpaceX's most powerful rocket launched on its ninth uncrewed test flight this week, but the mission did not go as well as they would have hoped.
Five, four, three, two, one.
The Starship spacecraft seemed to take off as planned and ended up going farther into its flight path than previous tests this year, but eventually it failed to deploy mock satellites and failed to reignite its engines upon reentry, so there it was, turning into a whirling dervish, spinning uncontrollably through space, with SpaceX losing contact with the Starship. It's believed that the spacecraft likely broke apart over the Indian Ocean after losing control upon reentry to Earth. Pop quiz, hot shot. When Jim Henson first created the Muppets, what animal was Kermit before he became Kermit the Frog? Hog, koala, lizard, or fish? Answer is lizard. Henson made the original Kermit puppet out of his mother's old turquoise coat and used ping pong balls for eyes. 70 years after his initial creation, Kermit the Frog has gotten a major glow-up. A cap and gown. The fan favorite frog was the official commencement speaker at the graduation ceremony for the University of Maryland, the alma mater of Jim Henson.
Hi-yo, everybody!
Kermit and his puppeteer told the graduates to take big leaps and to have the confidence that your people will catch you if you fall.
If you're with your people, then you won't have to do it alone. Because life is not a solo act. No, it's not. It's a big, messy, delightful ensemble piece, especially when you're with your people. As you prepare to take this big leap into real life, here's a little advice, if you're willing to listen to a frog. Rather than jumping over someone to get what you want, consider reaching out your hand and taking the leap side by side, because life is better when we leap together.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, the competition that some call the world's most dangerous race. The annual cheese rolling competition in England, dating back about 200 years. No matter how much cheddar they might pay the winner, I wouldn't dare try this, because not much Gouda can come from it. Believe me, we're out of think twice before mozzarella around like this. I just can't bear the thought of you getting hurt, so ricotta promise not to try this at home. CNN's Don Riddell spoke with the man who's won this race more times than anybody on the planet.
It's one of the most dangerous races in the world, and certainly one of the most ridiculous. A 200-yard dash down a steep English hillside in pursuit of a wheel of double Gloucester. The cheese is the prize, but just finishing in one piece should also be considered a triumph.
There's potential for like some serious injury there. Basically, you enter at your own risk. I think the worst injuries we've sort of had have been like legs and ankles being broken.
Nobody has been more successful on Cooper's Hill than Chris Anderson. He's won a world record 23 cheeses, but even he has felt some pain. He broke his ankle celebrating his first win, and a couple of years later, when he won again, he crossed the finish line unconscious.
For anybody that's maybe going to try it for the first time, can you just tell them how to win the world's craziest race? How do you do it?
You've just got to have a disregard for your own safety. The initial first 10 meters are like near vertical. So you've literally just got to like almost dive into it. Just try and run, stay on your feet. And if you fall, get up as quick as you can.
They've been chasing cheese here since the 1800s, if not earlier, and with the advent of the internet age, it has become world famous. Thousands of people attend every year, and the winners have come from as far afield as New Zealand, Egypt, and the United States.
My face took a lot of hits down the hill, so did my body, but that's the cost that it takes to win the cheese rolling.
American Abby Lampe is a two-time champion. She's running again and hoping for a third title this year. At the age of 37, Anderson is recovering from a hip injury and says he's retired, although he could be tempted to run again one day if his son decides to follow in his footsteps down the hill.
I'd be happy for him to run it, but I'd like to see him run down it at a good sort of speed, because the most danger is going slow and getting hit by somebody from behind. So I'd like him to be quick enough to get away from the carnage.
But if he does run again, Anderson says it won't be for the cheese. Believe it or not, he doesn't like the taste.
All right, before Asiago, we have shout-out time now. This one goes to New story in New Cumberland, PA. Rise up. I see you, Mr. Antoine and team. And this shout out goes to Mr. Rawson. You are awesome. All our friends at McGavick High School in Nashville, you put the 10 in Tennessee. Finally, words of wisdom from some of our CNN 10 viewers. Create the things you wished existed. Mr. Marzella at IS Pablo Casais Middle School in the Bronx, you and your squad are squad goals. You are blowing our mind with your creations and imagination. Rise up. Now, we know school might be over for the summer for some of you, but if you're one of our younger viewers or teachers out there and you watch this episode from home, we want to know. Comment on our YouTube page, send us an email, and be sure to tune in every Friday now through August, at which point we will get back to our Monday through Friday flow. Be kind and shine bright this weekend. You are more powerful than you know. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.